station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father.
Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father.
When you were a kid, you swore you'd never turn out like your old man. But now that you have kids, it turns out you swear just like your old man.
You lousy kids, clean up this
Sure, you want your kids to think you're hip and happening, but still find yourself screaming, turn down that awful jungle music for crying out loud.
And you don't care how you dress.
You've had that members-only jacket for 25 years.
Even the Goodwill doesn't want it.
So the next time you find yourself saying, back in the good old days, or this must be the new man, look in the mirror, ignore your nose hair, and say hello to Mr. Guy Who's Turning Into His Father, a real American hero.
Mr. Guy is turning into his father.
Come here, boy. Pull my finger.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Sherry in the Morning. To join the show, dial 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. And now, here's your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, November 19th.
Good morning.
And Sherry's here on time yet once again.
It won't change.
It won't change.
It won't change now.
Well, it shows a lot of dedication.
Thank you.
You know how much we appreciate that here.
Well, I appreciate showing up and you being here.
Yes, absolutely. I've got to be here. Sometimes it's easier than other days, but...
We're still here.
You know, yeah.
You're alive and kicking.
It's so hard to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially when it's colder.
Yeah.
This morning was one of the first mornings that I've slept through the night. Like, I usually wake up, you know, a couple of hours before my alarm went off.
Yeah.
Like, that's what woke me up. And I was like... Whoa, like I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
And I was really tired.
Really?
Really tired today.
So why do you wake up in the middle of the night?
Mm-hmm.
Don't know?
No, it's maybe my rooftop soulmate. Hello.
That's a stretch there, okay.
Well, no, I used to not, but it's around the 4 or 5-ish mark. It's just like, okay, time to get up. But
yeah.
I'm like, not so much. I mean, I wake up super early. I have my alarm set an hour before I actually have to get ready because I like to, you know, prepare for talking to you.
Yeah. Takes an hour to prepare. Huh?
I've got to prep myself. I'm like, no matter what comes your way, it's all going to be okay. I meditate. No, you know, I just prepare for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to have that, like, that quiet time in my house and in my head and everything. So I think sometimes I wake up earlier maybe because my brain's telling me maybe you need a little more of that time, you know?
That's true,
extra preparation. But no, so today the alarm went off and that was that. And I was surprised that that's what woke me up. And I was really tired and I wanted to be like, Sam, maybe he'll call and say he's sick today.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
Well, you can always do it, you know.
No, I never do that. Like, I even go to work when I'm sick sometimes, like, unless I'm, like, deathly ill.
Really?
Or hungover.
Now, when you drink, are you able to sleep through the night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that usually helps me
drink. So you need to drink every night?
No. No, not even close.
It's like you need encouragement, right?
No, between waking up... Shut up. Between waking up in the morning... to come here and then working at night, like, I'm tired by the time nighttime comes. Like, I can pass out by 10 without alcohol.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah, it is a long day.
So, no, I sleep just fine. But sometimes, you know, it's fun to go to bed at alcohol.
Yeah.
I learned Skype last night.
You did?
I did.
Yeah.
I never understood the purpose of Skype.
By necessity? Is that why?
What do you mean by necessity?
Like, you need to communicate with someone specific?
Well, if you want to kind of be on camera with them and see them,
I guess,
you know. So I tried out the Skype.
So you discovered that?
I discovered Skype.
And what did you think?
Well, it's just like, I don't get the difference between that and like doing webcam on Yahoo Messenger. Like,
yeah.
Except that you make a phone call, it calls.
Yeah, but this is like personal, isn't it? I mean, isn't it on Yahoo where people can see you too?
No.
Oh, I see.
No, you like open up your normal Messenger box to talk to them and then it says, you know, there's a link for webcam and then your webcam goes on.
I see, okay.
So I don't really understand.
So this is more direct. Yeah. Yeah, here it's like you make a phone call. I mean, you just like...
Yeah, I mean, it just says video call and so it calls them up and stuff. But it was fun. Yeah. It was cool. Except that everything's like in 2 second delay time, so someone's mouth moving and then it's like,
yeah,
like Japanese movies. So at one point I was just like, okay, this is obnoxious, so we actually picked up the phone.
Yeah.
And we muted the computer. Uh-huh. And we talked to each other on camera but through the phone. Right. So we were like in normal time.
Yeah, no, very normal.
Shut up. You know what else is not
but
normal?
That opens up the door for Skype sex, you know.
Sure does.
Yeah. Okay, we get the idea.
No one gets any idea. Okay. Just because you see my face, the listeners don't.
I see, okay.
Don't give away my smiles.
No, but I got to communicate what I'm seeing.
Thanks. Okay, then I'll communicate what I see. Yeah. Someone looks like he's about to cry.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
Why, are you going to like make me cry?
No. Oh, okay. No, God, no.
Yeah.
I never do
Maybe
that.
Maybe I need to cry a little bit.
I think you do. I mean, I just don't want to be the catalyst for it. Yeah. I think you need to release a little bit.
Yeah. There's nothing to release. I'm really happy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I only just said it because you just said maybe you need to cry. Jeez. You just said it. I was just agreeing.
No, I thought.
No, but I think everybody needs to cry.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, I suppose when you feel like crying.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't mean like, you know, jab yourself in the eye and make yourself cry. Like, I just mean sometimes it's just a good release. Sometimes I go to movies just to cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm like, I'm in the mood to see a sad movie.
Really? Like, yeah. So you go specifically to cry?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to, yeah, I do. It's good. Like, some people, like, want to laugh. Like, sometimes I want to see a sad movie because it just brings about other stuff, and it just makes you feel better afterwards, like, letting go of that.
That makes sense because I usually automatically write off sad movies, you know?
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I never thought about it.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm in touch with my joyful side. I don't know. I cry a lot, but not, like, out of my own sadness. It's just... It really is a physical release.
Yeah.
So, I like it.
I prefer other releases.
You don't we all? But when you can't get those, you cry.
You cry.
you can't get it.
So, what emotional movie have you seen lately?
I'm really bad with my memory. Yeah. I just saw...
What about Princess? Have you seen that? Uh-huh. Oh, no, I mean Precious.
No, but I'm going to go see it, though. I really would like to
see
it.
That one would definitely make you cry.
It would. Well, because number one, I'd be like, this fat girl got a part, and I can't get a fucking part.
Well, remember what you said. They told you have to be either really fat or thin.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to do it myself. This year already, like, we're already in November, and I've thought about all the things that I've accomplished this year. Like, my friend put it in perspective for me, because sometimes you don't see your own accomplishments,
right.
Even small ones. And they said to me, do you realize, Sherry, that when I met you earlier this year, these are things that you hadn't done, and you were like, oh, should I, would I, could I? And they just, like, listed things. I was like, whoa.
And you did.
I'm pretty incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess you are, if you say
no,
so.
But, no, I was just saying that to be funny. But really, like, you sometimes you've got to give yourself more credit. And because we all want things in our own time, and we want things so fast, and we want to accomplish things. And sometimes it's, like, the small little things. And it's like, huh, I really did do that, you know? So it's
well, good for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
And now it's a soulmate that's waiting. You still have about a month and a half or so.
Yeah, I know.
But don't rush it. You know, sometimes things can spill over to the next year.
My soulmate's a procrastinator. He's just like, oh, maybe next year. Damn it. So
yeah, don't take anything at face value, you know?
No, I have to say... that I'm being worn down a little bit.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. By certain people in my life.
Uh-huh.
And
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
They're trying to wear down your defenses? Is that what it is?
This last few weeks has just been kind of a whirlwind for me. As far as I just believe that I'm going to be married sometime soon.
Really?
That's probably the dumbest thing I've ever said.
It is, because I don't even know the candidate
here.
I'm
like sinking down in my chair.
I wonder if you know.
Yeah, he's my rooftop soulmate. Hello.
I see.
No, it's... So this morning I was driving to work.
Yeah.
And I realized what a like music schizo I am.
Yeah.
Like I went in my one trip here this morning to listening from Michael Bublé.
Yeah. Did you just change the topic?
Completely. Completely. You didn't see that whole segue. I was like, so.
Yeah, but I was waiting.
I was wondering why you hadn't commented on it. You thought that I was still on that subject.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but thanks for bringing us back there.
So you're a music what?
Schizo. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I went from listening to, and I was just laughing at myself as I was pulling into the parking lot here. I went from listening to Michael Bublé to Tupac to the Bee Gees to Pearl Jam and got down to every single song.
Sounds good. What song by the Bee Gees did you listen to?
Oh God, why do I have the worst
Not
memory?
Not Saturday Night Fever.
No. You should be dancing.
Yeah.
You should be dancing. I'm not really singing it.
I'm like a big fan of the Bee Gees.
I love them.
I know all their songs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just the disco ones. Well, you know, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in that. I mean, the early 70s is when I was born. So, and then, like, with Saturday Night Fever came out. But then also, like, Andy Gibb and when he broke off and then he died and all that kind of stuff. Right. Like, I remember just listening to them all in my childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you should check out their album, Main Course. You know, that was with Nights on Broadway and not You Should Be Dancing, but the other one, Jive Talking.
Oh, that was a good song, too.
Yeah.
But isn't that, don't you consider that disco?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
No. Well, Jive Talking maybe, but...
You mean the album.
But you see, it was one out of, an entire album that was not like that.
Yeah.
You know? They just really hit the disco with Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
You know?
I love their voices, though. Yeah. Like, I always loved listening to them. Do you sing them in Hebrew?
No, I sing them in English.
I don't know. It'd be fun to hear, like, a Hebrew disco song.
It would be fun.
Yes, it would. I'd be amused.
Yeah. Actually, I brought back a couple CDs, some cool songs, actually.
Oh, from Israel?
Yeah.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Good shopping there.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Like a pop?
Yeah, yeah.
Type stuff.
Yeah.
If stuff you like were to be a like a singer or performer like you wanted and had any sort of a success, like what genre of music? Are you like pop?
Pop, rock, yeah.
Like ballads type thing?
Some ballads. I like mostly like faster songs.
You know? You like a George Michael?
I love George Michael.
Right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, sometimes I can listen to something like Def Leppard and shit, and sometimes I can listen to a Celine Dion.
Right.
You know?
No, totally. That's how I was this morning in the car. I went to Def Leppard concert 3 times, and then I've also been to like Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Neil Diamond.
I know, and every time I listen to it, I go, God, I'm so gay. You know?
Every time I look at you, I think, melodies. God, he's so gay. We have something in common. happy day.
Yes, indeed.
You know when today starts for me? It's like, ugh, today is like my work week. Like, like everyone's like, Friday's coming, weekend's coming, and this is like, this is my Monday.
I see.
Because I work in the restaurant Thursday through Sunday, so I'm just like, I start tonight, I'm like, oh, back to the work week. It just puts a damper on the whole week.
Yeah. Sounds very positive.
I know. It's only because I'm tired today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, once I'm really like nursing this coffee.
And I wonder why you're tired, because you obviously didn't work last night.
I did not work last night, but I Skyped last night.
Oh, you Skyped.
Till late in the night.
I see.
Wore me out. I mean, the talk.
Skype fatigue.
I have a Skype hangover.
Yeah.
No, I went to bed kind of late. I ran around. I went and did that filming with my friend Adriana when we did the segment for We Are What We Do.
Uh-huh.
So that took like, actually, that was a really good experience for me. I have to say this. Usually when I film things or I take pictures, I think I've told you like I'm obsessed with the way that they look and I'll only post certain things.
Uh-huh.
Well, her and I hadn't hung out in a while, so we caught up for a couple of hours and then we went up to her rooftop to do the rooftop dry cleaning. Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is with roofs and you.
See, I keep getting called out there.
Yeah.
And so we did it and it was me. She was filming me, so I was like this episode. And normally before like we post anything, like we would go back to the apartment, we put it in, we watch it, and I'm like, oh no, we got to do it again. Like, we literally, we were done. No, we were like, we did, the first take was going great. And then I like, kind of just like lost my train of thought and I started laughing. We're like, okay, I got to do that again. And so we did. And then we were leaving. She's like, all right, let's go watch. I'm like, no, I don't need to watch it. And she looked at me. She's like, what? I was like, no, I'm just posting. I don't care. And she was like, you don't care. And I'm like, I got to let this go. Of like this obsession with the way that I look and how other people, I'm me,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I, and so it was so strange. I drove away from there. Like, I don't even know what I look like. I have no idea what she's going to post.
Yeah.
And it was like the most freeing thing, because it was just like, well, people are not going to like what I look like, or people are going to judge me. Then who really needs that? Or
right.
them, you know?
Yeah.
And I've never been able to feel that way before. And
yeah.
I was like, gigantic. She just like looked at me and was like, all right. And then, of course, like later at night, I was like, damn it, I really want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you definitely should check him out before, because the results from New York were not that great.
I
you
quit.
Know, so you should watch them before.
Quit. I come in here and I'm getting my ego bruised left and right. Ow! Uppercut! this is something different. This is more professionally done. Well, okay, it's not more professionally done, but what we're doing is something positive. My New York little video blog was just silly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Caller, please. Did you see my post on Facebook this morning?
No. Actually, I just realized I didn't go into Facebook this morning.
Wow.
At all. Yeah.
Wow.
I had things to do.
I know. I check your page to see what's happening in the world,
yeah.
in the Sam world. And I didn't see
nothing
anything.
Nothing happened this morning.
No. But there is something happening in the world of the world. Every year, Oxford Dictionary makes a word of the year.
Right.
And so the 2009 word of the year... Jesus, it is so sad. It says, without further ado, the 2009 word of the year is unfriend. How do you know this?
Because I must have read the same thing you did.
Bitch. But people, unfriend. Like, are you kidding me? Like, as a verb, it
yeah.
says, like, to unfriend somebody, like, on Facebook.
Yeah, but I think it's amazing that it is, like, the word of the year, because, you
it
know...
It shows
they
where
go
our world's at.
Yeah, which is, it's not bad, is it?
I don't know. I think there's probably more important things than to unfriend somebody on a social networking site.
Yeah, but it's
site.
Not like, about important. I think it's about, like, you know, something like it's widely used, you know,
right.
where it wasn't before or something. It's a new word.
I know. I guess just the fact that it's going to be in the dictionary, like, I just feel like, not that we're dumbing down our society, but, like, I don't know. Just like, well, first of all, why isn't it defriend? Like, to defriend somebody. Why is it unfriend?
I don't know. We'll figure well,
it's
let's
like unfriendly,
ask the,
I guess. Did you see what the second one was, or the other one? That they, I'm sure you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, it is, which I find this one funny. Another thing, intexticated.
Intexticated?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's distracted because texting on a cell phone while driving a vehicle.
Yeah.
You're intexticated.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm always
no,
intexicated.
For you, that's
and then there's also sexting.
Now, what does that say about our world?
Yeah, and then sexting, the sending of sexually explicit texts and pictures by cell phone.
Uh-huh.
I do that as well.
You do?
I fit into every single one of these.
Who do you send photos to? I'm curious.
Okay, not the photos part, the text.
The text.
The text. I don't do dirty photos.
No.
I'm very careful about what gets out there. Plus, they'd probably never talk to me again. They'd be like, wow, I thought you were looked a lot better in clothes. Yeah, there'll be none of those pictures out there, because I think some of the things that I say on here is going to get back to me. Can you imagine? You know,
yeah.
when I have my show.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's true.
There'll be pictures all over the place. I'm good. I'm good.
It'll make you more famous.
Yeah, not in a good way.
No.
Not in a good way.
That,
I don't need it that way. I want to be known for other things.
Yeah. Okay,
besides
well, that's
my
cool.
large, round behind. But yeah, this I just found this really interesting, these words and stuff. But yeah, unfriend. So that is the word of the year. That's my status update for the day.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I mean, but if you put down that word or like the importance of it, then what do you say about yourself using Facebook all the time? You know, I mean,
I agree.
Yeah, you see, it's become part of our lives. And I think that's what they mean by the word of the year. You know,
I mean, is that what their definition of the word of the year is, like the most widely used word?
Probably. Or, yeah, I mean, the one that maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Distinct.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. What does it say?
Does
it say anything about how they choose it?
It just says every year the new Oxford American Dictionary prepares for the holidays by making its biggest announcement of the year. Ongoing Sparks is always a lot of fun. Okay. No, not
yeah.
really.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, I didn't read really into it. I'm sure there's something in there that
yeah.
explains it. I don't know. I was just kind of shocked. Like, I was like, ooh, word of the year. Like, and it was like, unfriend. It was like, oh my God, we really are. Like, I mean, and I love Facebook.
Yeah.
But I also realize how my life revolves around it and how I told you. Like,
it
you know,
really
you do
does.
Things during the day. You're taking pictures in Israel for your friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm busy thinking in status updates. Anything happens to me, I'm like, Sherry Elise does. What? Sherry Elise is peeing. Sherry, like, everything is like, I'm thinking about myself in third person. You know? And I don't know. It's just, it's kind of crazy.
Do you ever wonder if people really want to read it before you put it up?
Yeah, I wonder, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
Because I know there are people that do. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I...
But I mean, anything that pops into your head?
No, God, no. If I put all the things that popped into my head, I'd probably be arrested. I mean, I let things guide me. I mean, I seriously have like a million. I mean, you talk to me, you listen to me. I'm nonstop. I have a million things that go on in my head. Right. But there's only certain things that I want to post about.
Yeah.
You know, this morning I posted, but it's so funny, like what people want to hear. Like, I thought people would be really interested in the word of the year, and one person reposted, and no one else has commented on it, which is fine. But the moment that I put some quote on there, something, a million comments or anything like that, I'm like, see, people want to know, like, people want to be inspired.
Yeah, yeah.
They do.
I know. I like the. I mean, I don't like these cryptic messages that people put up. You know,
as far
it's
as
like
what?
They only know what it means or something.
Oh, like between people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, it's cute when it's between the, you know, the
yeah,
people.
Yeah, but I mean, if you just write unfriend, what does that mean? You know?
Well, I didn't just write unfriend.
Oh, you didn't.
No.
You wrote the word of the year.
I said, of course, yeah, with much, you know, I wrote their thing, without further ado, to 2000 Oxford word of the year is, and then I wrote the definition, and then I just wrote in my own quote, like, oh, world.
Well, yeah, but let me give you the biggest tip of the day, and that is if you ask a question on your status, you'll get a lot of responses. You know?
Yes.
It seems to happen that way.
So should I do that on Twitter?
Because, you know, otherwise if you talk about the word of the year, it's like, okay, what do you want me to do with that? You know?
No, I just thought people would have opinions on it.
Yeah.
You know, like I do. I think it's dumb.
Yeah. Then you write, you know, unfriend, what do you think? You know?
Yeah, whatever.
Something like that. I mean, I think it
I mean,
works.
Not everyone's going to respond to everything, I guess, you know? I have enough responses. My friend calls... It's so bad. Like, I hate it. He calls my people that comment, like, my zombies.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, oh, there you go. Your zombies again. I was like, that's fucked up.
Like, brainless?
Oh, just like people that, like, oh, whatever Sherry says. They're like, oh, wow, I love her. And I was like, number one, what you're doing is insulting the people that I love and that I care about. Number two, you're insulting the people that I love and care about. Number three, you're one of them, too.
That's true, huh?
Well, yeah. I don't know. Don't know.
So how's your mom doing? You talked to her lately?
I called her the other day and she didn't answer because she never... I don't understand why she has a cell phone because, number one, she drives with it and she keeps it in her purse. So then the phone rings. First of all, she doesn't, like, hear it. Or when she does hear it, she's digging around and searching. I'm like, you're going to get a car accident. Put the phone, like, next to you, Mom.
Yeah.
And then... But she basically never hears it. Every time I'm leaving a message, as I'm leaving the voicemail, I'm thinking... She's going to be calling on the other line, like, I didn't hear. And I'm just like, I'm already annoyed with that. I'm like, Mom, just hold your phone. So anyway, she returned my call when I was at work.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have a chance to talk. But when I talked about that Pamela Beatty thing.
Right.
And things coming up in my life, family issues have been coming back up, like with my sister
really?
And stuff. Like my mom, yeah, like financially and all this kind of stuff. So I've kind of avoided calling back home recently.
Yeah.
And stuff because it's been stressing me out. It's like the one thing, and it's like the one thing in my life. Like no one else upsets me. No one else can like get me down, and like no one else can take power over me. But the moment that you put me back in my family situation, like I get this knot in my chest, and I'm just like, breathe, let it go. So I just figure the best thing to do is number one, do what I did, which is move 3,000 miles away.
There you go.
And,
as far away as
number
possible.
Two, just don't go home. And it's not like they're awful people. There's just that dynamic.
Yeah,
and it's mainly
exactly.
with my sister.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, we've talked about my sister relationship. Like, so my mom's living with my sister right now. So calling the household there is just like nonstop drama.
Really?
Yeah.
It throws you back to like the past.
Yeah, well, it just did. Like, I didn't realize, like, I mean, I always talk about, oh, my sister and I had this, you know, troublesome relationship, but I didn't realize until a couple of weeks ago, like, something that she had said just brought back all this stuff and all these issues came up, and I was like, whoa, hi there.
Really?
And I spent like a couple of hours just crying over it and like being like, wow, you haven't really dealt with that before. Like, I told you my sister and I would fight, and she would beat me up and everything, and it was like sisterly thing, but I think it affected on some level, you know? So once I decided to face that and let it go, because Pamela said that my soulmate wouldn't be ready for me until I faced all my issues. So I've just been like, okay, issues, come on. Come at me.
Bring them on.
Come at me, because I got to deal with this other shit soon. So, yeah.
Is it stressing you out?
Well, no, not anymore. No. Like, I think that I'm such a forgiving person, you know, and I think that everyone does the best that they can in their life with the circumstances that they're given.
Right.
And so I've always made that excuse for like my sister and for everything that's happened in my life. And I think that finally I'm ready, like when it happens, to, you know, confront her.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I think what you did was shitty.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so,
true.
And sometimes I don't need... I don't think that she's a bad person or anything. I think the reason why I never dealt with my sister in that way and like really talked about it is because when my sexual abuse as a child, like she was there at the time, and so she has carried, like, wasn't like there, she was in the area.
Right.
And she has felt guilt over it as my older sister, like our whole lives, that she didn't protect me.
Right.
And so I carry that with me, that she feels bad and guilty. So I think I, you know, my issues of like being angry at my sister, I've kept inside because I didn't want to put that on her because she already feels bad enough about something else.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
so,
yes.
But then I've come to realize that I do feel really bad that she used to beat me up, and I do feel really bad that she would call me names and all these things. You know what I mean? So I think coming to, I'm finally like, that stuff's coming to the surface now, and it's like, oh, okay, that's what that's about, you know?
Yeah.
So, once again, I feel like I'm healing and things are moving along.
Good.
It sounds really heavy, but it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. I mean, it seems like you're dealing with it.
Yeah, you know? And I think that's the only way to grow. And I think we're all constantly growing, and we're all each other's teachers, and we all have something, you know, things come into your life exactly when they're supposed to.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know?
You're right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what can I teach you?
Well, teach me how not to take too many breaks.
It's called a Nicorette patch or gum.
So we're going to take a short one. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Nowhere else, got it, go. your phone calls. Dial 323-203-0815 to get on the air. Now, once again, here are your morning show hosts, Sam and Sherry.
Okay. And the book we've got today, Sherry, is The Real Truth About Success. And okay. You don't want to know how to succeed.
I already feel successful.
Really?
Yeah, but that's an internal thing. That's something that this guy probably wants to talk about.
Yeah. I figured we'd teach you some more about success.
Thank you.
And we're calling Mr. Garrison Wynn. Let's find out where he is.
Mr. Garrison is from South Park.
South Park?
Mr. Garrison.
Well, I didn't mean to put it that way.
Oh, no. I'm just dumb.
Yes. Good morning, Wynn Solutions. This is Jeff.
Yes, good morning. We're calling for Garrison Wynn, please. This is LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you may,
calling. Thank you. LA Talk Radio, and we're on the air.
Okay. May I place you on hold, please?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I figured it was a toll-free number, so we probably have to go through someone.
I wonder if that guy's read this book.
Garrison Wynn.
I'm sure. Garrison, good morning to you. This is Sam and Sherry calling you from LA.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sam and Sherry.
Good morning, Garrison Wynn.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. The line's a little noisy, but we'll try anyway.
The line's noisy. The line should be very clear.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, not on this end, but that's fine. We can hear you very clearly, so that's fine.
Okay.
Where are we calling you? What part of the country are you in?
I'm in Houston.
In Houston, Texas.
Yeehaw!
Sounds good. And you wrote the book, The Real Truth About Success. What the top 1% do differently, what they won't tell you, and how you can do it anyway. How did this book come about?
Well, we were doing some research, and we started to interview successful people. We noticed that the problem was that the successful people were saying the same things the unsuccessful people were saying. There was no difference. There was too much consensus between the people who weren't successful and the people who were not. We identified successful companies and the people within them, and the answers just sounded like pat answers. And so we discovered one thing was that people apparently are liars when it comes to talking about success. So we changed the question. We started to say, well, no offense, which is what you say, I guess, right before you offend someone, no offense, but a lot of people do that, and they're not you. So what is it beyond that that made you successful, beyond what you just told us? Right. And we started to get some real information. And we found out that the real answers don't really sound anything like what people typically talk about or what's fired into the crowd at motivational seminars.
Right. So what is it that they say? I mean, what do you find out? Why would people not say the real reason?
Well, you know, if someone told you how hard one thing was for them and how easy something else was, you probably wouldn't view them the way they want to be viewed.
I see.
The other thing is, a lot of people who are successful, what they've done isn't impressive enough. Success sometimes is about relationships. You know, Bill Gates speaks all over the country. What Bill Gates never says is that the reason he is successful is because his mother was on the board with the president of IBM.
Right.
Oh, I see.
And had that connection not been there, there would be no Microsoft.
I see. Okay. So he wants to make it look like it was his accomplishment, actually.
Of course, and anybody would. You certainly can't
right.
criticize them for that.
Right.
But that's just what we found. And when we also found that there's what we call the three big myths about success. And these myths kind of really prevent people from getting there. We believe these myths, and we try to operate within these myths, and it really prevents people from being successful. And the three big myths are this, that positive thinking is important, genius or high intelligence is critical, and that having a better idea or better product and service rules.
Right.
And we found that absolutely to be untrue, interviewing 5,000 people over a period of 10 years. What we really found was the opposite of that.
Right.
The most successful people are typically negative thinkers. People who see a glass as half empty are much more likely to fill up the glass than those who see it half full. They are not blindsided by problems. They see problems out there, and they don't really have self-assurance, saying, I can do this, I know I can do this. They have self-assurance. They isolate what the problems are, and they say, well, if I take care of A, B, and C, then I can move forward and succeed.
Right.
The second thing, of course, being intelligence, I mean, they just have to look at the facts. I mean, you know, Britney Spears and Warren Buffett have the same IQ. And most people who are successful, their IQ is under 130 of average intelligence. If your IQ is 175, more likely you work for someone who's really successful. You're not that person.
Really?
As I said in the book, if you're the smartest guy in a company, is probably smartest person in the company, is probably wearing a lab coat with their name on it. If your name's on your coat, you're probably not the boss.
I see.
We just couldn't find any connection between high IQs and massive success. There were some exceptions, of course, but across the board, not much. Also, if someone is extraordinarily intelligent, they have a tendency not to be very clear. Their intelligence makes their ideas complex. Well, if you don't have clarity, you typically don't have any influence. And the people who are the most successful are the most influential. But the third thing, the third myth, was about having a better product or service. And I mean, who makes the most hamburgers? McDonald's. Who makes the best hamburgers? Not McDonald's.
Right.
It was consistent across the board that it really had nothing to do with a better product, better service, or better idea. It was how it was presented, the influence around that presentation, and the timing, and the people that you knew who would support the idea. I mean, it took, 40 years to put seatbelts in cars, and they green-lighted the pet rock at the first meeting.
Right.
We found that if we believe in those myths, we keep thinking we have to reinvent ourselves. Well, how many people can actually reinvent themselves? It's a pretty small percentage. These people that were successful took advantage of their existing advantages. That might be a relationship. It might be a tactic. It might be a talent. It might be innate, like the fact that they were good-looking or they were very good at making people comfortable very quickly or building trust very quickly. So they had these advantages, and they were willing to take advantage of them. They weren't doing anything illegal or wrong. They just took advantage of the advantages, and a lot of people just don't do that.
Right, right. So it's a different way of thinking, sort of like seizing opportunities and so forth, rather than and you know, I mean, that point about the positive thinking and stuff, it does make a lot of sense, you know, because if you are, let's say, content with what you have and everything, and you believe things that's just going to happen, you may not work as hard to actually make them happen.
That's right. And by the way, that's a very good point. We found that top performers, if you're a really a successful person, you probably have mid-range to lower self-esteem. If you believe that you're okay and that you don't need to prove anything to anyone, you're probably not the most successful person. It'd be hard to compete with someone who's got something to prove.
That's true.
No doubt about it.
That's true. Yeah, I think it's a strong motive right there, you know.
Right, and we saw that across the board over the 10-year period and in the 5,000 interviews.
Right. So that's 5,000 interviews over 10 years. So how many? I mean, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
Believe me, it is a lot of people.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow. So
yeah, it's quite a task. It was we were in the middle of it, thinking, can we ever actually do this? But we did.
Right, right. So, and essentially, you're saying success really is then attainable for anyone. You don't have to be born a genius or like you said, necessarily have the better product, but you've got to sort of maybe work with perception.
Right, and not only that, we found that being born a genius was more of a handicap than a help. It was interesting. We just couldn't find a high percentage of really successful people who were above average intelligence as far as IQ-wise. Now, maybe they were emotionally intelligent or whatever. But, I mean, the percentage of people who are billionaires, who are college dropouts, and people who've struggled, people with learning disabilities, you have a lot of high-functioning, driven ADD business owners who have learning disabilities that probably couldn't get through college.
Right.
So, a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. So, Sherry, you had...
No, I was just going to say, so the main thing that you saw when you were first interviewing or when you were, talking to successful people is that they all pretty much lied about what got them there, when really, at the end of the day, it was about, you know, either having the opportunity or someone that they knew, a connection, or all that kind of stuff. So, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that we heard a lot of, well, you know, I've worked really hard, and I've done some things my competitors didn't do, and you know, I think I'm smarter, or I think I've got a better strategy, or they would start to explain some process that we knew that a lot of people had the same process, and they were not as successful as people were. So we think, when we say lying, we think, number one, they didn't want to tell you because it didn't sound impressive enough, or it didn't show them in the light they want to be shown. Or a lot of times they really just sometimes they didn't really understand what made them successful, so they just went ahead and bought into what most of us buy into, which are the things that are easy to believe.
Right.
I mean, it's easy to believe that, wow, if I could just change how I feel, if I could just, you know, if I was just smarter, and if I just had something better, I could be successful. But if you think about that, that's kind of a cop-out. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so you're saying, essentially, and this is something that I think they mention a lot in business and marketing books, you've got to be different, you've got to be original, you've got to stand out from the crowd in order to succeed.
Right, and what's interesting about that is that, you know, there is a vein of truth in that, and you can make a good argument, but then let's take a look at the people around us who are more successful than we are.
Right.
I mean, look at your boss. Is your boss smarter than you are?
Right.
But maybe your boss is just smart enough to be your boss, I guess. But
right.
I mean, if you look at the people around you, are they doing something that's better than what you're doing?
Right.
That's
well,
a question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, they probably just take advantage of the opportunity.
We find out that the answer is typically not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
Interesting.
So, yeah, very interesting. So the book is The Real Truth About Success, Garrison Wynn. Do you have a website where we can find out more about the research?
Yeah, the website is called therealtruthaboutsuccess.com, therealtruthaboutsuccess.com.
Right.
And we've got information, we've got excerpts, and all kinds of stuff. And the book, of course, is available everywhere, and Borders and Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and all that.
Sounds very good. Well, the book is fascinating, I think, and anybody that's concerned with succeeding in any possible way, I think it's a great way to look at things. And, you know, like I said, some of it is counterintuitive, but at the same time, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's good, you know. It's like common sense is always common after you think about it.
Right.
But what we've done too is we take the reader on a journey of how to identify your own advantages and how to use those advantages and how to become willing to do that.
Right.
And so it's got a how-to process to it. So.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, Garrison Wynn, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. And everybody, go out and get the book. Congratulations. And
thank you.
All the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well?
Well, I was smiling a lot.
I know, because of the positive thinking part of it.
No, because there's a lot of things. I don't want to argue with an author. You know what I mean? I have my own opinion.
Why? You should argue with an author. Yeah. Oh, you meant on the air?
Right.
I respect.
Yeah.
But you don't agree with a lot of things.
Uh-uh.
Okay. Like what, for example?
Well, for example, obviously, let's talk about the positive thinking. I think that when he's speaking about that people like the ones that are successful are taking advantage of the opportunities, I think only a positive person can see those things. I think only a positive person can actually look at their life and be like, wow, I'm really good at this. I should then go and pursue this. If you were a negative person, you'd never be able to even see that you're good at anything or that clearly or it wouldn't work out or anything
That's
like
true.
That.
That's true. I mean, that makes sense.
I think
sense,
there's a bigger,
you know?
I think that he, because I feel like I see life and things on a bigger level than, you know.
See, I don't think he means necessarily unhappy in life, you know. It's when you think of negative thinking, it's sort of like, you know, what's missing here? You know, what can be better, you know? And because I can tell you, because that's me, you know. I mean, it's like, the glass half empty. But
I feel like those successful
like
people will
you.
Never, will there'll still be other things that they'll get what they say that they want, but then they're still going to be like, okay, I'm still not happy or I still want more.
Exactly.
Or this is not
and that's how you drive innovation, though. You know?
Yeah, but you can keep driving and driving and become more and more successful, but if you're not happy with what you have, what does any of that mean?
But we didn't mention happiness. We're talking about negative thinking. You know?
No, but it all. But you're saying that you have it. Okay, so say you find the success, and then you're saying then you still want more because this doesn't fulfill you. At least that's what I'm hearing. Am I hearing that incorrectly?
Well, I don't know if it doesn't fulfill you necessarily, but you just feel that there's ways to do it better, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I think you're mixing happiness with positive thinking. You know. I don't know that they necessarily go hand in hand. I mean, look at me. I have mostly like say negative thinking,
mm-hmm.
but I'm very happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Yeah, and I'm very happy, and I'm not like the most successful like to society. Do you know what
right.
I mean? I think when you take a group of 5,000 people and like it's another thing about like a stereotype or a generalization. I don't think that we can say that positive thinking is a myth.
Right.
I mean, because there are plenty of successful positive people and there are plenty of successful negative people probably. But I just feel that the negative in my own this is my own you know opinion that the negative people that their success I don't know how much they appreciate it or how much, you know,
yeah.
how much they
That's
love
true.
That,
I mean, there's
know?
Something to that. Let's see. We have a phone call.
Okay.
And good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, L.A.
Good morning.
I always love that good morning. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, New
York. Good morning,
Princess.
Good morning, Sam.
How's it going?
I just want to interject on what Sherry was saying. There's a big difference between people who are driven to success and people who have an invention or a direction, and they go with it with all they have, and they have the right people, and they have the right backings. But I think what Sherry's trying to say is that those people are also searching for something internally to drive them to that point, whether it's the right invention or not.
And that's true. He
might
was
be something
about
more that they're not having in their life.
Yeah. He was talking about low self-esteem and everything. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know? I feel like the things that he was saying is very, like, factual, and that's great. And, like, for business-minded people that want to achieve success, yes, they can get it. But I guess I just see, like, whenever I see people that, like, achieve success, like, solely on a business level, that I never see them being fulfilled and happy. Like, and that's what I always say about, like, all these successful people that, like, keep wanting and money and all these things, and then they end up realizing that none of that, you know, they
but
end up going
But it's not
back.
Necessarily all money. I mean, let's say you want to audition and get a part, for example. It's not for the money so much, you know. So the thing is, if you're just happy with the way things are or content with the way things are and just saying, well, you know, this is how it's supposed to be, then you're not going to take any steps.
But I think that's a misconception that just because you accept life and things that happen that you're suddenly just lazy. You know what I mean? Like if that was the case, I wouldn't be submitting myself for auditions all the time. I wouldn't be trying to move forward. Am I just like, well, this is just what it is. You still go after what you want, but the opportunities that come your way, if they don't come the way you want them, you just go, okay, well, maybe that wasn't meant to be, but you keep trying.
Right.
Anyone that stops anything is just lazy.
But here's an outside thought. I mean, think about the guy who goes to the factory every day and he works the 9 to 5 and he has his little lunch and he comes home to dinner, or the guy who works for the town. You know, they have their purpose and they're content with that. They never strive to drive to be more successful or have anything outside of the norm. You know, and those other people who have that security or that confidence or whatever it is that they're pushing, if that drives them to some sort of success in their own world, that's one thing. But does it really bring contentment?
Right.
You know, I mean, and again, the self-esteem is a part of the confidence. A lot of people act through that just because it's persona.
Right.
You know, they're not real.
I mean, personal success is different to everybody, like, really, at the end of the day. And I think we're just, like, discussing here or going in circles about personal success and what it means to each of us.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
I agree.
I guess I was just thrown off by him saying that it's a myth, like, positive thinkers, because I think there's just as many successful positive thinkers as there are negative. But making a mass generalization like that is just silly, or there's low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Like,
no, well, no amount of reason is going to move you from that position, so we'll just have to go with that.
Well, it's true.
It's true for you. Yeah.
But how? Let me ask you a question. Like, if you thought negatively, like, how could you possibly see clearly anything that you're good at to then go after that? You know what I mean? Like, if you're a negative thinker, aren't you just like, well, I suck at this, and I'm not going to, that'll never work out. Like, I don't see how that drives you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just don't see it. So I didn't really get that correlation.
Well, it's not the negative thinking about yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. I think he talks about, you know, looking at how you're going to succeed by looking at the negative things, you know, and just acting on them. It's
Like meaning like saying, oh, I don't have any money, or like I'm broke or whatever.
Yeah, we're not talking about depressed people. Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't think that's the point here.
Okay.
Well, we could go around and semantics about this all day.
Well, again, it's just our own, you know, personal success is different to everybody.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
My opinion is the correct one here, so let's all just drop it.
There you go.
you're never wrong, so that must be true.
Yeah. Well, you learn quickly.
All right, Tommy, we've got another call coming. So anything specific you wanted to talk about other than...
Absolutely. I just wanted to interject my 2 cents worth on what you guys were talking about.
Yeah, and put Sherry in her place.
Which is on a throne, right,
that's
Tommy?
Have a good morning. On your throne, that's correct.
We love you, Tommy. Take care.
Have a good one.
Have a good day now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's funny. He called me princess today, and I was like, I love it.
Yeah.
So then he like wrote something about like my throne and all this stuff. I'm like, he learns really quickly.
Yeah. You know how to train them zombies.
He's not a zombie. Tommy, you're not a zombie. Shush. Who's our caller? They dropped it?
They dropped. Oh. I was going to actually join them with us, but...
Oh, that would have been fun.
Yeah.
Like a little gangbang. You see, I made it all joyful, too. Like, there's like flowers and rainbows everywhere.
Yeah, a little gangbang.
I don't know. It was the only thing I could think about without saying, like, instead of orgy.
Yeah.
Just like an orgy of phone callers.
Yeah.
Let's bring them
all
together.
Would you like to be the object of a gangbang?
I knew I shouldn't have gone in that direction. I was really happy with today's show.
I mean, what's your limit? How many could you handle? You
I don't even think about
like,
that
to
anymore.
The point. Anymore? You used to?
Oh, yeah. I was a fantasy before, but now I'm a one-woman kind of... A one-guy kind of woman? A one-woman kind of guy?
So even in a sexual fantasy, you don't think about it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think three would be max.
Three?
Yeah.
You would like three. Servicing you.
Well, I'd like to service them. Okay. Next. what else do we got to talk about?
Oh, we've got plenty. We've got guests coming in.
Oh, okay.
Comedians. So that should be
geez.
Funny.
Yeah. I'm definitely not telling any of my jokes. I'm just going to let them talk.
Yeah, keep them to yourself, right?
Totally. I was driving here thinking about that because I was thinking about all the things that I've accomplished and how I told myself that I was doing stand-up before the end of this year. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, geez, the end of this year is coming really quickly.
Yeah.
So that got a little scary. I'm like, well, you don't have to accomplish everything. You can procrastinate. That's why I'm so successful.
I suppose.
See, there was negative thinking.
Yeah.
I can't be funny. I'm not funny.
Yeah. I just heard a joke that's pretty funny, actually. And let's see if I can remember it real quick. There was an American, a Russian, a Chinese, and an Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
And, and someone walks up to them and they go, well, excuse me, you know, what do you think of the meat meat shortage? And
come on, you got it. It's there.
Oh, no. What is your opinion? Okay. Uh-huh. Excuse me. What is your opinion of the meat shortage?
Uh-huh.
Right? So the American goes, what's shortage? Right? The Chinese goes, what's opinion? And the Russian goes, what's meat? You know? And the Israeli goes, what's excuse me?
You don't get it.
No. Okay.
Listen
to it afterwards. Okay.
I'll probably be driving home and I'll start laughing.
You're a terrible joke audience.
You're a terrible joke teller. I just kept praying that you'd remember the joke.
Yeah. It's hard this early in the morning to remember jokes.
What's your
But there was excuse? Some there was some funny ones I heard in Israel. I'll have to think about them and
tell them better.
Yeah.
What's your excuse? Oh, who was the one that asked him?
No, it's not what's your excuse. He said, what does excuse me mean?
Oh.
Okay, what's excuse me?
Oh, excuse me. Okay, I get it now. I get it now.
Okay.
It's a little funny.
So you think it's funny now?
A little bit, yeah. But why isn't the Israeli the smart one?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything?
He should be the one answering the question.
No, but they each answered part of the question because they couldn't understand it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So the American, what's a shortage? You know, we've never seen shortages here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Chinese says, what's an opinion? You know, because they don't get to voice their opinions. The Russian says, what's meat? You know, they don't get to see a lot of meat. And the Israeli's like, what's, excuse me?
You know it's a bad joke when you got to explain it.
I know. Well, to you have to explain every joke.
Shut up. It's true, but I think the Asian, the Chinese should have said, what's meat? Because he's got none. Duh.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was that obvious.
Well, then I would have gotten it, but I was like, trying to put all that together.
All right, well, we're going to take a little break,
okay.
And we'll be back right after this, hopefully, with our guest.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
I heard some
Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Sherry in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back.
Yeah.
Did you have a good break?
Yeah. Everything came out okay.
Why am I not hearing you?
I don't know. I couldn't. Well, now I can
there
hear
you
me.
Are. Okay.
Don't you feel so much responsibility every time you hear that? I know I say that all the time, but about us saving the world.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility.
That's
absolutely.
What I'm saying. And we get back on the air, and I feel like I have to say something brilliant.
Well, you already have.
Well, thank you.
You said your brilliant thing for the day. Now we can move on.
Thanks, Sam.
So we have our guests in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
And Lewis, you'll want to get closer to the mic so we can hear you.
Good morning.
Yes. And we have Lewis and Chris in the studio. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit, you guys with a comedy troupe or... How would you describe it?
We are in a sketch comedy group called City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
We're from New York City.
Woo!
We're here for the L.A. Comedy Festival.
Shut up, Sherry.
New York.
Here we go. Everybody's from New York, so we're not surprised.
New York and I are soulmates, so I get excited when I, you know, meet branches of my soulmates.
I'm soulmate with New York as well.
Well, yeah. Then I guess we're connected.
Have you lived there all your life, Chris?
No, I'm from the South.
Oh, really?
South Carolina.
Really? Yeah.
Literally the South.
Yeah, so how did you end up in New York?
I drove with a U-Haul. No,
that's fucking hilarious, isn't it?
You got lost and
woke
up in an alley.
See, I can do comedy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was touring around the country with a theater group based out of Richmond, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And after about 3 years of that hell, I decided I had to either move to New York, L.A., or Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Chicago's way too cold, mm-hmm. and L.A. was really far away, so... Yeah.
So you wanted to get as far as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So New York.
Right. That was a smart choice.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
And Lewis, where are you originally from?
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Really? You're originally
from Los Angeles. And then, you know, I also wanted to get as far away as possible from L.A. So I ended up in New York, which, you know, is an equally kind of lonely and isolating town, but has a nice energy about it that no other town has. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So you moved to New York?
Moved to New York, yeah.
Really? How long ago was that?
About 5 years ago. I spent about 9 years in the San Francisco area, studied theater there. And failed at that, so I decided, you know, try new towns.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. And New York is as good as any, right?
It really is.
Yeah, it's cool.
You can make it there. You can make it anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why we're back in L.A.
Familiar. I think I heard it somewhere.
So thus far, you have one guy who is in touring hell, and you have another guy who went to another city that was lonely and isolating. So, comedy.
Comedy,
there you go.
Good time.
Hilarity.
This is technically early morning for us. It's only about, about 1 in the afternoon New York time, so we're about going to bed around this time, though.
Right. Gotcha. I see.
So, yeah.
Coming back from a wild night.
Oh, well, yeah, usually.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you spending your morning with us.
No, glad to be here.
Yeah. So, I was told that you're leaving town tomorrow, right? Where are you guys going?
No, actually, tomorrow night, we're actually performing tomorrow night. Friday and Saturday night, we're at the Acme Comedy Theater on La Brea doing the LA Comedy Festival. So that's...
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah. So what is it? Is it all different like troops or things from different places that come together?
I think they do short films, they do stand-up, they do sketch, and I believe they do improv as well.
Gotcha.
And it's been going on for about 3 weeks, and I think we're wrapping it up this weekend. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So you two met at City Hall?
We did, yeah. Well, actually, Chris was part of an improv group before for a couple of years, and he decided he wanted to get a really great group together, and somehow he found me. So, just through a mutual friend.
Yeah.
I'm insulting the guests. It's very nice, I know.
Myself.
Well, they're comedians. They're used to it,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Myself and this other guy, Josh Walensky, we started City Hall, and through just friends of friends, we heard about this guy, Lewis, from L.A., who had done comedy, who was looking to get involved. So we came in, and he cold read some sketches we had written. Mm-hmm. And at that point, and still to this day, he's the best cold reader of comedy I've ever met. So
really?
Awesome.
Wow.
This guy's
a great talent.
Yeah. Well, once I get in front of an audience, though, I just bomb.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, the truth is, I'm Mexican. I mean, you know, Luis is actually the real name, but they needed a Mexican. I mean, they had kind of a, you know, a bigger guy. They had a tall, lanky guy. They had a Jewish guy. And thanks to affirmative action, I got, you know, another job.
There you go.
First I get into college, and then, you know.
Wow.
you got to love it, right?
Yeah. There you go. So there's more of you, right? It's not just you two.
Yeah, there's five guys and one girl. So there's six of us.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Poor girl.
Wow. Poor girl. Oh, yeah. Like fantasy.
Right.
I don't know if it's her fantasy or her nightmare.
Yeah, it's more of a nightmare.
Yeah, you haven't met the rest of the guys yet. Yeah. So
we're like the brothers she never wanted.
It's called imagination. Women use their minds. That's men are visual. Right. Well, I can just pretend that there's someone else.
That's actually a huge part of our show is using your imagination. I mean, we kind of set it up like a kid's show for adults. We take you to the happiest place you've ever been in your life again. And then it gets a little twisted.
Okay.
But we encourage, that's one thing that when you become an adult, you kind of lose sight of your imagination. Kids can say what they want, they do what they want, because they haven't learned or been taught that it's wrong.
Right.
So we kind of encourage people to use their imagination. And then it usually takes us to really bad places, and then we learn that might not be the best thing all the time. But we learn lessons.
Yeah.
In fact, if you take a look at the back of our T-shirts, it says, hop aboard the imagination train.
Yes.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo.
The best way to describe our show, it's like you're taking the D train in New York to Coney Island. Coney Island is a very magical yet sad place, and you've got to go through some really dark, dangerous places to get there.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of like our show.
That's true. You think, it's going to be great. There's going to be a Ferris wheel, and then you get there, and there's, you know, crackheads and that dude with a snake who wants you to, like, pet it, you know?
That guy's in, I think he's in Times Square as well.
Yeah, no, he's all over the place.
He's actually in my bedroom last night.
Yeah.
Pet my steak, baby.
You know, in the valley, there's a lot of guys who are talking to you, you know, to want you to pet their snake. Apparently.
Uh-huh.
I think you're reliving some childhood memories, Lewis.
Yeah. Another reason I left L.A., actually.
Petting a snake. That's a good one. Yeah. That's one I've never heard before.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard Anaconda.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
that was just my last.
Wow.
That was my last black boyfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say, where you been hanging out?
Compton.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in New York, we have the guy with the albino anaconda.
Wow. Oh. And his name is Christopher Booth. He's sitting
to
my left.
So.
I'll be here all night.
CityHallComedy.com.
So will I. Hey.
So tell me about sketch comedy. Like, what makes that different than, like, an improv-based?
Well, improv is made up on the spot, and sketch comedy is written. The best example, most famous example of sketch comedy is Saturday Night Live.
Not always the best example, but the
most
well-known
example. And the guys from Monty Python.
Okay.
So our show, I would probably say, is about 80% written and about 20% improvised. We improvise a lot in our show. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but it's always interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that have more improv experience in the group who are good at it, and when I'm improvising, it just means I forgot my line and I start yelling a lot.
Yeah.
Or I stamp my feet, kind of, you know, anything to distract from the fact that the scene is going to hell.
Lewis has amazing poker tells. When he doesn't know a line, it's really amazing.
What?
He almost looks like the old Star Trek, when they would turn Data off, his face goes completely slack. For about 2 seconds, you can see that the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Yeah.
I like how the Star Trek series from the 90s is now the old Star Trek.
Hey, it's 20 years. Man.
Oh, that's old. Come on.
Almost 20 years.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
But that's why you are the best cold reader, he said, because obviously.
Script. Yeah, exactly.
So. But improv has got to be difficult with six people, right? I mean, it's not that... No?
Well, I was going to say, it depends. If you can read each other and not speak over each other, but
unlike today.
We just proved that theory wrong. So I'll let Chris talk about improv, because I obviously have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've all worked together for so long now, and we know each other so well. And when I say that we do improv in our show, we don't break the show up to do improv.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's just inherently written within the sketches or moments where people will improvise, and we usually try to write those moments in to the particular actor's strength, and so we'll know coming up to a moment that Lewis is going to improvise a line here, or I'm going to improvise a line here. But no, it's not like a free for all. It's very planned.
Okay. Do you all write together, or is it just like head writers type thing?
No, I wouldn't say head writers. We our show is written towards theme.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll do is we'll come up with three or four, five or six themes that we want to explore in the year coming up. Sort of like a kid's show. Mr. Rogers explored themes in his show. we do the same. So the show that we're doing out here in LA is about lying, telling lies, and how wonderful it is to tell lies as an adult. And what we do is we usually have a conversation as a group about what that idea says to us. And we'll write down a bunch of ideas, like a list. Mm-hmm. And then from there, a few of us will go away and write very skeletal sketches.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of put them all up on their feet. And through everyone's improv and through our rehearsal process, which is actually rather intense, we kind of the show comes out on the other end. So, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to say who wrote a sketch, because you could say, well, this guy came up with the initial idea, but the next 12 jokes in the sketch were all written by other people.
Yeah, and I did
so
the spell
like collaboration.
Check. I fixed the punctuation and the syntax and stuff that really doesn't matter in terms of comedy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I contribute, you know, I wear hats.
He's a day laborer.
I look good in hats. Exactly. I'm the day laborer of pick me up outside the Home Depot.
Yeah. So, Luis, at what point in your life did you feel that you were funny?
That you wanted
to do this for a living?
Well, when I told my parents I wanted to be an actor, they laughed at me. But, you know, people have been laughing at me my entire life.
Yeah.
But I've never thought of myself as funny because they were really laughing at me, not with me. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I started stealing people's jokes, and
then you were funny.
Then I realized that that girls like to laugh. Uh-huh. So I've been trying my hardest to be funny. I'm sorry.
It helps with the girls.
It does.
Yeah. You know,
it does.
Every girl is like, I need a sense of humor in a guy.
Yeah. Because it's so true. Yeah. They suddenly become cute as soon as like you start laughing. Like,
yeah.
It's the cutest thing.
And then I start spilling stuff on myself and you know send people on fire.
That's just because he's drunk.
That's true. But I think I'm funny when I'm drunk. Yeah. The magic of Jack Daniels.
Well, as long as they're drunk with you, you are funny. You're cute.
That's true. So really, you gotta be careful with that though. You can make a few mistakes and then have to leave Los Angeles for New York and. Avoid the authorities when you come back into town.
You don't really get the women because you're funny. You get the women because you give them the Jack Daniels.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, that was probably
the booze. Sounds like it was a nickname for something else that I give him the Jack Daniels.
Yeah, maybe he's got a big Jack Daniels.
I know. I was thinking you're going somewhere else with that, too.
Going back to the Anaconda. That's our theme, you know.
And Chris, have you always wanted to perform from a young age?
Well, growing up a fat kid in the South with asthma, I really couldn't do sports, so I had to figure out something to do, and I swear to God, my mom sent me to acting camp over the summer when I was a kid.
That's cool, though.
If I wasn't beaten up enough as a kid, I had to go to acting camp, and it was always something that I was very interested in, but not something that I always thought that I could do.
Right.
And it wasn't really until I moved to New York that the stars aligned and it all kind of clicked.
Right. Right. How the romantic lives? Are you guys attached? Married?
I didn't want to say this on the air, but I have a girlfriend. But you know, I'm still kind of keeping my options open.
I see. Listening. Okay.
You don't have a girlfriend anymore.
I'm pretty sure she's not listening, so I can say this. She's still asleep.
So you're keeping your options open?
No. Wow.
Wouldn't we all love
here.
To?
You're getting him in all kinds of trouble.
I respect her very much.
Uh-huh. He's the only one.
Yeah.
Can you get your hand off my knee?
I'm so sorry. I thought that was my knee.
Luis, can you get your hand off my knee?
I'm so sorry. I thought that was her knee. I'm so sorry.
So, where do you prefer to perform? Is New York cooler to perform or is LA? The audiences are different, right?
Well, yeah, this is very, very different. I mean, one thing we found, can we say, can we drop F-bombs here and stuff? Okay. We performed in New York for a couple of years, and then we went down to Miami, which, you know, we thought was going to be a fun town. I think you've,
I'm born there.
So the first thing, maybe 20 minutes into the set, somebody says,
I know, he does know a lot about me. This is like the third thing. I'm like, nice.
It's the Google, man. I love the interweb.
I'm under Google?
I Googled her last night, so I know all about it. But
he went to MySpace and Googled my, what is it? Have you guys not heard this? Yeah. He went to MySpace and Twittered my Googled all over my Facebook or Google, something like that.
Googled my
Twitter and came on my
Googled
Facebook,
all over your Facebook or something,
yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's pretty funny, but when you say
that's
it right.
That's a terrible joke.
Poker on Facebook. Yeah. No, so we were down in Miami and, you know, we're doing a sketch and everyone's into it. And then, you know, somebody said, fuck! And the whole audience kind of gasped. And this was a comedy festival as well. And we were like, okay, maybe we need to rethink everything we're doing here. So things that shock a New York audience might, or the things that don't shock a New York audience might, you know, we've been to Montreal, which they found certain things funny. Sarasota, you know, we were somewhere in upstate New York, D.C., and they all have different sensibilities and different senses of humor. They all find different things funny. I mean, farts are always funny, no matter how old you are. Even just write the word down if you don't believe me and look at it. It's a funny
it's
word.
It's funny, huh?
Fart, yeah. You know, the actual sound is... You know, if you're sitting next to Chris, though, and he lets one go, it's not funny at all because it's just, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It smells like death.
Really?
Thank you.
Well, don't make us experience that. We'll throw you out the window.
Each city's very, very different. New Yorkers in general are sort of over it. About everything.
Yeah.
They're just sort of over it.
They go there so you prove that you're funny.
Right. Yeah, you sort of have to push certain things with them that with other audiences you don't have to push, which is very, very interesting because sometimes we will do sketches in New York that don't go necessarily well, but we will know that if we go out of New York, they're going to kill. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. We will do sketches we have a sketch we're actually doing at the LA Comedy Festival at the Acme Theater.
Friday and Saturday, 11 o'clock.
On 135 North La Brea Avenue. Is that
that's
what that
right,
says?
That's right. That's we're really bad at plugging this in. We're going well.
So, we have a sketch we're actually doing there tomorrow night about where we play chess pieces. Uh-huh. And New York audiences loved the chess sketch. They just ate it up. And then we went and did it in upstate New York.
Downscale, actually.
Which is downscale. Uh-huh. We went and did it in upstate New York. And the people stared at us like we were murdering the baby Jesus.
Really?
They were just not.
That's why I said we should
it.
Have done checkers.
I was just going to say they would have gotten checkers.
Yeah. Chess they would have loved that.
New Yorker intelligent people.
Or Uno, you know, doing an Uno sketch. You know, the Pop-O-Matic bubble.
That's Trouble.
Trouble.
We do a sketch about that.
Sort of.
So, you do a lot of sketches. You just have to remind them.
So you guys tour all. You guys go around the country doing this?
We try to get out of town at least about once a month, and we do drive. That's the thing about New York. It's so close to a lot of different states, a lot of different cities. So we've driven all over, and we've hit a couple of cities.
We've been to Chicago.
Yeah,
Chicago. L.A. Now up to Canada. Miami. A couple times.
Do you guys have real jobs?
I mean,
and I don't want to know about your money situation, but I mean, like, are you able to do this like consistently?
For the most part, I mean, we all have some sort of waiting or bartending job, or I don't know what Chris does. Chris is actually like a personal assistant to a crazy woman.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah. I'm not that crazy.
Does she get offended when you call her crazy?
I don't know.
All right, we'll have to change your name after this and your job.
I do a lot of freelance illustration and graphic design.
So it's a male prostitute, actually.
But I do graphic design for a nonprofit in New York. But
nice.
I'm actually here in New York also. Or here in New York. I have jet lag.
I don't know where I am.
You're like Bruce Springsteen when he like said, good evening, Ohio.
That was rough. Mm-hmm.
Actually, while I'm out here in L.A., I'm doing a two comic book signings for a comic book called Z-Blade XX that I did a pinup for. So
really?
Yeah.
That would be cool. Huh?
Yeah.
Now, when you say pinup, like you were the pinup?
Of course, baby.
Oh, man.
Hot.
No, I just drew the back inside cover of this comic book. And so the people who produced the comic book planned a couple of signings at comic book stores.
Nice.
I think one's on Universal City Walk tomorrow. Oh. And so we're going to be doing that.
Have fun there.
Right. Yeah.
Like Times Square.
Well, that's cool. So City Hall Comedy is the name, right?
That's the name.
City Hall
Comedy. And the website?
Cityhallcomedy.com.
Okay. Cityhallcomedy.com.
Sounds good, and I'm sure people can find like your upcoming events and things.
Absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely, we might be coming to a Los Angeles city near you again.
We've got some shows coming up in Boston in December. We're heading out to Chicago in January, and we'll be for all our fans in Montreal, all one of you. We're going to be back in May in Montreal.
Yeah, so she was cute, actually. Yeah. Our one Montreal fan.
It's a dude.
All right, he made a very, very, very cute woman. So.
Yeah, it all depends on the perspective, yeah. You know, whether it's a dude or not. Yeah.
Actually, well, Chris said he wanted to fulfill a lifetime fantasy right now. If we have about
shout out or something, or
oh no, it was my radio fantasy. Uh-huh. All right, coming back to you on the top of the hour, we now have all the hits of Genesis.
Mm.
There you go. Okay. There you are.
All right.
Wow.
There you go.
Right.
What a lame lifetime fantasy.
That's okay. I'm glad we were part of your fantasy film and that we did that for you.
You can cut out the clip later and just put it on your website.
And then cry myself to sleep at night.
Do you guys have any samples of some of the sketches on your website?
Yeah, we have
a couple of live sketches. We have a couple of sketches that we filmed specifically for the website.
Oh, you just reminded me. There is a great thing online called dfdtv.com. They're an online television network, and they have a comedy channel called livelaughs.com, and that's live-laughs.com, and they recently came in and filmed our show.
Oh,
and
cool.
So if someone wants to get a flavor of our show live, it's livelaughs.com, and then online on YouTube, which is, you know, www.youtube.com/City Hall Comedy. I'm just getting everything in there.
No, wow. Yeah,
you might as well. Yeah,
you got the HTTP. ///
You can also check out some stuff that we filmed. We do have filmed sketches, and then some more of our live stuff as well. Some of our songs.
Yeah.
And, fun.
Yeah, we're also we incorporate music, dance, puppetry. Now we might add an anaconda if that'll bring the ladies in.
And white snakes and everything.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay, sounds good. Well, City Hall Comedy, everybody. Chris, Lewis, thank you so much.
Have fun.
Thank you.
And we'll be back right after this.
Hello, this is Borat again. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
Calling in the face.
came. Well, I'm sure you can't wait for your positive stuff.
I thought we already did that for the day, remember? Not the whole morning was spent positively.
Yeah, I suppose.
Sharing with Sherry. Sharing with Sherry.
That's you.
That's me. I was hoping for your harmony at the end of the song. I liked it yesterday. Maybe you should make me a sharing with Sherry in Hebrew.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not in this lifetime.
Okay, never mind. Giving up my dream. So today we're going to talk about being somebody. Actually, I was going to say, like, the last few years in my life, one of the reasons why that I'm so, like, just peaceful inside is accepting, like, and I'm not talking about body because that's, of course, something, a different story, but about, like, accepting who we are as people,
right,
and what we have to offer the world and our own strengths. And which is funny because this is about success, and I kind of try to keep it along the same theme because I knew that's what we were talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as finding, like, what actually the author said about, you know, taking the things that you already have and doing something with them.
Right.
And there's this great quote, and I don't know who it's from, but it always says, be you and change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once we are that way and we embrace who we truly are, because we each have a unique gift in this world and there's a reason why we're here and we have a specific purpose that we should follow. Once we do that, we actually find true success.
Right.
Once we stop striving to be somebody else.
Right.
You know?
So have you figured out your pursuit?
Oh, yeah,
you know, which way are you going?
Yeah, well, it's to inspire through entertainment.
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
There's lots that I want to do with the world. And
I see.
I think being kind is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And just being joyful and happy. And yeah, and I think that by being myself, which means crazy,
mm-hmm,
which means sexual, mm-hmm, which means goofy, which means all of the things that encompass me, which means sometimes not being so intelligent, like, just instead of, like, punishing myself over and just embracing, like, all the aspects of my personality, what I do is then give people permission to be themselves around me as well. And that's one of the things that I get told all the time, is that I feel so comfortable with you, or I feel like I can open up to you, or I feel like I can be myself with you, or I feel so good when I'm around you.
Right.
And I
right.
think that we all have our own certain strengths, and that's what I bring.
So that's your purpose.
Yeah.
Okay,
I want
cool.
to bring out the best in people and remind them of their best.
Okay, and you do that for the most part, right?
I try.
Yeah.
I try. I see more smiles on your face these days than
yeah.
normal, than
yeah.
off days, than, you know, but whatever. It's not about you and I. It's about everybody else.
Okay.
So this is called You Are Somebody, and of course it's Ralph Marston, De Leon, and it says, there's no need for you to strive to be somebody. You are somebody already with your own unique gifts to offer life. What a waste it would be to spend your whole life seeking to be someone you're not. What a true joy it is to spend your moments expressing and fulfilling the authentic person you are. Today is a day to dance your own dance, to sing your own song. Live the joy that is yours to live and create the beauty that is yours to give. Pay no attention to the fleeting, superficial vision of success that the world seeks to sell you. Build a success that has real meaning for you by being true to who you are. Most of the disappointments you've experienced have been the result of striving to follow someone else's dream. Let go of the need to do that and feel the freedom, the amazing effectiveness, and the exhilaration of living a purpose that is truly you. You are somebody unique, valuable, beautiful, and worthy of the best life has to offer. Now is the time to fully live that truth.
Mm. Okay.
Yes.
So you're saying I do have the potential. I have a chance.
Absolutely. You don't need to be anybody else except you, and figure out what it is that makes you you.
Yeah.
And live it and be it and stop trying to... I got to get this way to be this, you know what I mean? The moment I think that people become successful in my eyes
yeah.
is when they follow and they just allow themselves to live and to just be,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And
yeah.
they're not trying to impress anybody or do anything except just be who they really are. As soon as your authentic self is the moment that, like, how could you not feel peaceful with that when you know that you're exactly who you are and you're not trying to be anybody else? Like,
right, yeah.
It brings about a peace to you. It does to me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I make no excuses for myself. And, you know, and sometimes I'm not perfect.
Do you find you try to change people sometimes?
I used to.
Yeah.
I used to. Like, now when someone says something to me, I take them at face value.
Mm.
Like, I really do. Like, even if I think that there's a possibility of change, meaning like maybe, well, they're not at the place where they ultimately want to be. It doesn't matter. They're not there right now, and you have to take people for exactly as who they are. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't suit you in that moment or in this place of your life, then you move on. You don't try to be like, okay, well, you need to do this, that, and the other thing, because it never works out that way.
Right.
You know, because I want someone to accept me for me. So how, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, if you try to change someone, you know, that if they don't want to change, they're not going to change.
Right.
And if they do, they'll probably resent you for it. And you
exactly.
know, and all that.
Well, so many people are open to change because I think that they don't even know who they are yet either. I think once a person knows within themselves who they truly are, they're not going to want to do that to somebody else. Like, I would never take that away from somebody else right now because I don't want someone to do that to me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's become a lot easier to take rejection, meaning like in the dating world. I used to take it so personally. Like, there was something wrong with me, and then I would try to adjust and change and try to be who they wanted me to be.
Right.
And now I just take it as, you know what, like, I'm just not the person for them,
exactly.
you know?
Yeah.
So I can pretend all I want to be somebody else, but
yeah,
it's just
like
silly.
Casting a film, you know? I mean, it's like you have someone in mind, mm-hmm. and that's the person you're going to hire. You can't, like, fit someone who doesn't fit in there
right.
into the position.
No, you know? It's absolutely true. And you can have, and at the same time, like, you can have a vision of what you want, but then somebody else comes along and they completely throw you for a loop, mm-hmm. you know? And it's just as beautiful, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thrown for a loop recently.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But anyway, so yes. So be you, change the world, find your true purpose in life, and be proud of it, exude it, love it, accept it,
mm-hmm.
embrace it.
Okay. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Ow! I've been saved.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's a positive
message
for the day.
It sounds like it's so easy, but I think it's so hard for people to figure things out. And I don't think that you should go crazy trying to figure out, like, what am I here for? Like, I think you already know inside. And I think when you take your strengths and the things that you're good at and you put it out in the world, success follows passion. And it's usually the things you are passionate about,
that's
you
true.
Know?
That's true. So. Can't argue with that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. And positive story?
Well, this is off of CNN Heroes, and they usually do it for local heroes, but they did it for a celebrity because you don't hear about celebrities a lot of times doing really good things. Halle Berry actually grew up in a household of domestic abuse, and she is the spokesperson. But beyond spokesperson, she's been doing stuff that no one knows about for years for this domestic shelter called Genesee. And she goes there almost all the time and hangs out with the ladies there and has built stuff with them and paints with them and everything because she has been affected by it by her mom. Her mom used to get abused, you know, by her dad and stuff. And so she has given an exuberant amount of money and of her time and has just spent time with these ladies and have changed some of these. They had stories of these women and has just changed some of their lives around. And you don't always hear all these things about people, but there are definitely people out there doing good things and aren't trying to get recognition for it.
Right,
so
right.
I think when that's one of the things that I want to do.
You know,
I think that's one of the advantages of having success is that you have the opportunity to help people.
Right.
And not
right.
everybody does that with their success, you know.
But
and
you can do it even if you're not successful.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, you can.
You don't have to be a famous person to help people.
You are absolutely right. But no one pays it. But you can do it on a larger level when you are successful,
right.
meaning you have more influence, you know.
Yeah.
People listen to you for some reason, you know.
That's true, yeah, because you do have more influence. I mean,
right.
that's why they pay them so much money to promote products and shit. You
exactly.
Because people trust them.
Exactly. And for the average person, maybe not us here in L.A., because mm-hmm. we're around celebrities all the time, but
right.
people in middle America, like, they think that celebrities are just like this, this mm-hmm. omnipotent type thing. I mean,
right.
you know, I have people that come into my restaurant or my old restaurant that were from out of town, and, you know, we'd have a celebrity sitting there and they're like, oh my God, that person's over there, and like freaking mm-hmm. out and not realizing that they're just like, it's just a job.
They're a person. Yeah.
yeah. They're just, it's just a job.
Person.
So they do have that responsibility and so they should, you know, take advantage of that and do something positive with the voice that they've been given
right.
and what, you know, fans have given them.
Well, sounds good.
Yo, it's time for Sharon with Sherry. Sometimes it gets real scary when she's down on her knees looking to please. Then one time in a race, she gets cum splashed on her face. She
Are
likes
you not
it.
Over this yet?
Don't worry. Clean up. Get outside in a hurry.
I think it's a lot better than sharing with Sherry.
I'm glad you do. I'm going to get a new song. Because I've been trying to, because there's people that in my life that there's just people that just don't like sex talk a lot, you know, and you can't do anything about that, but they love my positive message. So I keep trying to send them the timestamps for the positive message, and I have to like cut it off right before it comes on right afterwards.
Okay, we won't do it anymore then. Just for those people who get offended.
Well, I mean, some people find it crude. I mean, you know, we do talk pretty crude on here sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and but you can't please everybody either.
No,
that's what I said.
No.
No, no, I'm not. I'm
the
not
show's
ashamed.
Not for everybody.
No, I'm not ashamed of what I say. That's what I said. There's all. There's multi sides to me.
Yeah.
There's the front side. There's the back side.
Okay, we get the idea.
Thank you. Oh, now you're cutting me off. You just put a song about coming on my face. You're cutting me off. Oh goodness.
So, did you see Sarah Palin and Oprah?
No, I do. I have a TiVo. Remember, I told you I have like 10 Oprahs to watch, so I'm like working my way up there and stuff.
I mean, do you believe it's like I was turning on the news and people are just flocking everywhere to see her?
Yeah, well, she's on the cover of Newsweek. Did you see that picture?
No.
Oh yeah, like she's really? She's like offended by this, I guess, because she was in some. She posed for this exercise magazine as a runner or something,
right?
And they took that picture from this exercise magazine and they put it on the cover of Newsweek, and she's like in these little shorts and like.
Oh really?
Yeah, and you're like, oh really?
Yeah.
And like with the American flag there and her elbow on it, like it's very controversial and stuff. And I guess she's in pigtails.
Really?
Yeah. It's
well, I gotta admit, she's pretty cute, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
she really is.
Wasn't she Miss something or other?
Miss Alaska.
Miss Alaska.
Or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to what she's doing. I know that, you know, there's all this controversy about her and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I am interested in seeing her interview on Oprah.
Yeah.
I just got to catch up.
Yeah, you see, I'm just interested in seeing her. Yeah, yeah.
Well, check out the cover of Newsweek.
I really don't care about the controversy at all.
Well, you'll see a lot more of her on there in short shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, I mean, do you have any desire to read the book?
No.
Her book?
Uh-uh.
No, huh?
Uh-uh.
I know, me neither.
No, a lot of people's... Unless they've been through something, like for me, like I like reading inspirational books, but like really, unless they've been through something like crazy and then it brings them out to this other side, like I like reading that, but I don't care just because you're a celebrity. And I don't care about your average Joe. That sounds terrible. I love everybody, but I don't care about your average Joe. No, but yeah, I don't like her life doesn't really, you know. Yeah, no, I have no desire to read her book.
No
point.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, and you do. You don't either.
No.
You just wish that it was a picture book.
Yeah. Preferably without clothes on.
Right. I was gonna say like in a fold out, like centerfold.
Yeah. See, and I keep wondering why it is that she seems like sexy like this, you know? And I think it is
the
because
political thing.
Yeah, and I think she's like the ultimate like American woman, mm-hmm. you know, like family, work,
successful,
things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful, you know, all that stuff. It's like, cause sort of like the ideal, you know.
I think it's a sexy librarian thing.
Yeah.
I
probably,
think so.
Yeah.
Like you like see them all dressed up in the suit and, you know, and she's independent and she's smart and she's all these things, but then she's also pretty. So you like want to like rip her suit off.
Yeah. And you picture her on the desk and you doing her from behind.
Yeah. Every day. Sam, is there anything you want to tell us? Just watch RedTube.
Yeah, I'm in love with Sarah Palin.
Then why aren't you reading her book?
Because I said.
Because you don't care about her brain.
Yeah, I don't care about what she has to say.
You're such a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm gonna watch her this week now.
Yeah.
Like now I'm interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the time to go. Yeah, I had no interest in Sarah Palin before, and now, like, just because you like her, I now want to find out all her faults.
Yeah.
But you should really check out that Newsweek, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do for Thanksgiving? Do you have any plans?
Potluck with my friends.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I told you. I was.
Where
like,
are you guys having it?
At Heather's house.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she has, like, a little house in Encino.
Yeah.
So we're all coming together. All the gays and her and I.
Yeah.
We have a little gay group. We're like little bag hags. No, her and I, like all of our guy friends are all gay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there'll be about five of us. I said a boat. So I'm Canadian.
A boat?
A boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be five of us, and we were fighting last night about who was bringing what, and I keep trying to tell them, I don't cook, guys.
Yeah.
I'm bringing the desserts and the veggies and dip.
Well, maybe it's time to learn how to cook.
Well, I told you I know how to follow recipes, but...
Yeah, really, you're not into it, huh? It's just
I'm
not
into
your
chopping,
passion.
Dicing, mincing, and cutting.
Yeah.
I'm the
That's
prep
interesting.
Cook. I'm the prep cook.
Yeah.
I like to do all that, like, fancy... And then someone else can do the dishes. But no, like, I love cooking breakfast foods. Like, mm-hmm. I think I may make, like, a mean omelet. Certain
really?
Things that, yeah, like, I enjoy... I actually enjoy... feeding people when I know it's good and like watching their faces. Like I want to cook better. I do. I watch Top Chef all the time.
Yeah. Does that help?
No, but I'm amazed at what they do with like what they have. but it makes me want to cook more. But I figure I'll just have, you know, I'll just meet a man that can cook for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you going to do for the holidays? Are you thinking of going back
home? What are you
going to
do for him?
Yeah.
No.
No desire to go back home or anything?
Well, no. I always have a desire to go back home. But over the holidays, the restaurant's really busy and we can't. And I was just in New York. I can't travel anywhere yet, you know, financial-wise.
But, you know, actually traveling during the week of Christmas is pretty inexpensive, you know?
Yeah.
I looked at, like, Vegas hotels and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, for $100 you can get a room at, like, the Mirage or something.
Oh, yeah, because everyone's with their families. Yeah. No one's going to Vegas.
Exactly.
Except sickos like you.
No, or Jewish people.
Oh, well, true. When does Hanukkah fall this year?
I don't know, but it doesn't mean you can't go to Vegas when
it's
Hanukkah.
No, I know.
It's usually in December.
Well, I know, but sometimes it's the beginning of December, sometimes it's around Christmas, and I always like when it's around Christmas because I feel kind of left out when Christmas comes along and everyone's getting gifts, at least like when Hanukkah's, you know, at the same time.
Yeah.
I get
gifts. Well, marry a Gentile, and then you don't have that problem.
Well, of course, I'm going to marry a Jew.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to Jews.
Not with all the black guys around you.
Shut up. I can't help the black guys around me. It's like white on rice. I mean, flies on shit. They see a big ass and they're like, ah! And they all say the same thing, too. They're like, you date black guys, don't you? And I'm like, is that a compliment? I never know what to take it. I suddenly take it as like, why? Because a white guy won't date a thick girl?
Yeah.
Like, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Because they're uptight about their skin color. I mean, they think that everybody looks at them from, you know, through these lenses of race and color, you know, and it's not true. It's not true.
Not a stereotype at all.
No. Well, that's in my experience.
Yeah. Tell you? No. My sister's ex-husband was like that, and it was so difficult to get along with him because he always was, it was always like a black and white thing, you know, and I never looked at skin color, like ever.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't important to me at all, and it was constantly an issue with him. You know, he was always like, that's because I'm black, right? And I'm like, no, that's because you're an idiot.
You know,
is
that's
what it is.
It's
you know?
That line that kills me every time, you know?
And my family had an issue with him, and he kept saying it was because he was black, and the issue was like, well, no, it's because you are not good to my sister or good to her daughter.
Because you've got a fucking attitude
problem.
Because
you're an asshole. You know what I mean? It wasn't about you being black, you know?
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, when they say this, it's like they dodge any responsibility, you know? That's irritates me about it.
Yeah, no, but and also in all fairness, though, they do definitely have prejudice. There is racism against them. I mean, I've seen it. I've dated black guys. I walk into rooms where people are looking at us, you know, and I don't think that way, but it definitely does happen.
Right.
So it's not like their thoughts are, you know, of no whatever, you know, founding, no, you know what I'm trying to say.
No.
Come on, help me with a word here. I'm not good with words sometimes. Like, it's not a... Whatever. They have a reason for feeling it sometimes, but at some point they have to let it go.
Right.
That's it. You know, it's not like it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You can tell me out with a word
here. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know. We shouldn't talk about it. It's too charged.
Well, no, it's definitely a touchy subject, but you know, when anything happens to us, you know, you get cheated on like I was, like suddenly you're like looking at men in that way and it's hard to let go of that, you know, kind of thing, even though you try to. So, I mean, we all have our things that we hold on to. And
So was the cheating guy black?
No.
No,
he was from South. He was South American.
Oh, I see.
I haven't dated a lot of black guys. I mean, I've done black guys.
Yeah, but really you haven't dated a lot of white men either.
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Latinos. it's like what I was raised around. It was like the first thing I was introduced as a young girl. I mean, the first boyfriend I had was like this little Cuban boy.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Torres. I mean, you know, it was what was around in Miami and stuff. Yeah. And so that was the first thing that I was attracted to, you know.
So your parents have only themselves to blame then.
Yes, they shouldn't have raised me in Miami. I mean, even like my biggest like crush in Hollywood, although he's not Latin, but he is Italian, Antonio Sabato Jr. I don't know if you know who that is.
No, I don't know who that is.
Oh,
I've heard the name, I think.
Yeah, well, he had just had a reality show, too, called My Antonio. But he was on General Hospital back in the day. He was also a big Calvin Klein model. He's been in some, like, videos and stuff. He's pretty much the most beautiful man on earth.
Really?
But he looks, I mean, he's ethnic looking.
Yeah.
He's Italian.
Okay, well,
that's what
to
it
each
is.
His own, you know?
Yes, well, I mean, what
that's
is your
what
type,
you like?
Lons?
I think people like what's opposite of them sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Except that I don't like the blonde surfer look at all. No. But I am white Jewish, so I would go for, you know, the Latino or the black.
Yeah, I suppose you would.
Just to offend the family.
Make everybody
to be a
crazy.
Rebel, exactly. screw you guys. You wait till you see what I'm bringing home.
There you go. There you go. Okay, Sherry. Yes. Well, it's that time again.
It is that time.
Tomorrow is Friday, though.
It is.
So if it's hard for you to get up, there's only one more morning this week.
Yes.
And then you'll have to deal with the next
week. No, what gets me out of bed is knowing I'm going to see your cheerful, happy, smiling
wonderful.
Face.
Wonderful. And on that note, we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Sherry in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question or comment for the show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Sherry in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.